house always wins. Play long enough, you never change the stakes. The house takes you. Unless, when that perfect hand comes along, you bet big, and then you take the house. I've been practicing this routine. A little bit. Did I rush? It felt like I rushed.
It was good. I liked it.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of the Big Easy Bets podcast. I'm your host, Logan, and with me in the studio, Nick Von Brick.
What's up?
With us on the ones and twos, Joseph Ascani.
What it do?
This is episode 186. We are on to the final four. The stage is set. We're going to recap the Elite Eight, recap the entire tournament as a whole, let you know where we're at, how we've been doing. It's been a profitable run. And then we're going to give you our best bets for the final four and see who's going to go to the national championship. We got a bunch to get into before we get to that. First things first, hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening or watching, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. If you're on YouTube, hit the like button too. That helps us out tremendously as well. And we got a lot to get into. The Elite Eight was not kind to us.
No.
Not kind to us at all. My current overall record where I sit is 69-56-1. We gave some money back in the Elite Eight. So I guess, well, before we get to the recap of the tournament, couple things are going on since we last recorded. Let's start with the Pelicans. The Pelicans are in the midst of a postseason push. You have a futures bet on them. What are the odds you have?
55.
55-1. What is it currently at? Right around the same?
Probably higher.
You think? Like, yeah. Worse? I thought they were in the sixth spot.
Yeah, they just got trounced by the Suns.
Yeah, but come on. That's the Suns.
If you can't get past the Suns, you ain't getting out the West.
Are the Suns not good? I've been paying little to
I don't think so.
What?
I think they're frauds.
They are 44-31. They're worse than us. Mm-hmm. So, okay, you have, let's see. You said 55-1?
Yeah, it's probably 100-1.
No, it's 65-1 currently. Okay. Well, we got the Magic coming up. Brandon Ingram's battling the injury.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I know they're right on the edge. Like, they're trying to make a late push. So
yeah, it's a tight race there, though, at the bottom.
Yeah, a lot of people. Well, what? It's the top 10 get in, right?
Yeah, but we're like on the verge of the line being in the play-in game versus having a solidified seed.
I think that was a big loss to the Suns, too.
Yeah.
Because they were right, like, basically the same amount of games back.
We should avoid a play-in.
Yeah, I mean, we should beat the Magic, I would imagine.
The Magic's pretty good.
Yeah, well, they're still the Magic.
I don't know. They're pretty nice.
I'm thinking of the Magic from like 4 years ago. Yeah, no. I've been out of touch.
Dwight Howard?
All right, so LSU. LSU and Iowa played last night. Did you watch it?
Little bit.
What do you mean? I mean, yeah, it didn't go well for LSU, but.
I tried to watch it.
What happened?
I realize I don't watch women's basketball.
Because they don't go stand for the anthem?
No, because they fucking suck.
No, it is a tough watch. Let's be honest. My mom texted me and she was like, "Are you watching the game?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Do you remember when you were a kid and you asked me what was the point of women's basketball?"
Even back then you knew.
Yeah, I was like, I caught on quicker than most.
I'll watch if she's playing. I mean, that's the first game I've watched all year, but if Clark's playing, I'll watch.
No, she's insanely good.
That step back was so nasty.
It's like, which one? No.
Exactly. The one where she went like behind her. She took that behind the back. Yeah. Was fading left from like 35 feet.
Yeah. So their average number of viewers was 12.3 million. It rivals the men's tournament with some of their top games. For obvious reasons, there was bad blood from last year. Make no mistake, dude. LSU already won a national championship. There's a lot of people rejoicing about LSU losing. Don't forget what happened last year. Caitlin Clark is ridiculously good, though. You have to acknowledge that. But it got overshadowed because the disdain for the LSU team, which is so weird to me. It's so weird. There's a lot to unpack in terms of, like, people don't like Angel Reese from doing the whatever bullshit last year. Like, or doing the ring thing. But then it's so, it's just crazy how people just wait in the wings to get mad about things. And somebody, an account with a lot of followers, posted that LSU was not out there for the national anthem. So it was like the conservative bat signal was put up in the air. And I was thinking, I was like, what is the conservative bat signal? Like a silhouette of some like shitty gas station sunglasses? Like what's the liberal bat signal?
Oh, I don't even know.
Like a Pabst Blue Ribbon? It really is. It's like people go, oh yeah, that's right, we care. We care about the national anthem again. We're going to pretend to give a shit. We're going to disregard the fact that LSU's never out there for the national anthem, not for a protest, just because that is their routine, their pregame routine. At 12 minutes to go, they go back into the locker room like a lot of teams do, come out and warm up and then go into the locker room and get situated. They go over game plans, whatever. The UConn and USC were not out there for the national anthem. Iowa, who everybody has now like anointed as like America's team because they stand for the anthem, they weren't on the fucking court for the anthem for the national championship last year. Well, it's a lot of people that are really bored and never amounted to shit and have a profile picture of a dog that want to go out and just bitch and complain. And the majority of it's probably bots, to be honest, just trying to get people to freak out. And they're good at it. I almost responded to a couple things. I was like, nope, I'm not fucking doing it. I'm not getting in the mud. It's just crazy to me. These people don't care. They really don't care whether or not LSU's out there for the national anthem. Half of them go, oh, I didn't even realize that they didn't do that at all this year. It's like, yeah, because you didn't fucking care. You didn't care enough to go, oh, I want to see who's out there standing for the anthem. What are your thoughts? It's the same.
Yeah, I don't really even have any thoughts about that.
But it's like it's blowing up. People are – that's all I saw. I got stuck. I went down the rabbit hole.
Like LSU football, I don't think they're out there for the national anthem.
That's kind of the point you're making, though.
What?
It's like you just said, I mean, I don't really care. Like that's half of the people that are commenting about the shit is they don't really care until that one big thing comes up. The
bat signal gets put in the air. They're like, we got to ride. We're Patriots.
LSU, yeah, but the prior whole season, when they don't do it, they don't care.
Yeah, both sides do it, too. It just happens to be a conservative-based issue at the moment. But some liberal bullshit will pop up, and then they'll fucking start riding the same way. So it's all a fugazi. It's all... The problem is so many people fall into the engagement farming posts, and that's what it is. These people don't care. Those big accounts just know a lot of people are going to go argue in the comments. They're going to get put in the algorithm, and it's going to boost their page. But I just think it's ridiculous. This whole – that paired with the fact that we want to pretend like we need our athletes to be role models. I'm so tired of that. It's like I tweeted out, Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player to ever play, was a fucking horrific role model for your children. He was. He gambled like crazy, and he drank a shitload. There's the rumor that he bet $1 million on a putt. You don't want your kid doing that. You go down the list. Tyreek Hill gets into something every fucking offseason. He's still the best wide receiver in the NFL. You don't need your athletes to be good role models. Who's the poster child of the NFL? Tom Brady. He tongue kisses his kids, allegedly. You want that to be a role model for your children? But in all seriousness, it's like, it's so old. We're like, oh, you need to carry yourself and represent yourself. Like half of these people, like if you could hear what they're saying in their everyday conversations, you'd be like, oh, you're a tremendous piece of shit. And you're talking about like, we need good role models. Like shut the fuck up. Just watch the game. I don't care. I don't need the people I'm watching. I don't need anybody on LSU's team to be a good role model. I just need them to win the fucking game.
Mm-hmm.
Just go win the game. It's crazy. It really is. So, but it's kind of disappointing that it overshadows, an incredible performance from Caitlin Clark. But that's all people are really talking about now. And it's just weird to watch the people, like, rejoice in the failure of LSU. Like, a bunch of fucking low-life losers that never amounted to anything. Like, celebrating like they won the Super Bowl. No matter how much I've hated a team... I don't know. I don't like hate teams. Even Derek Carr. we went down that rabbit hole last year, which I'm ready to, I've already said it, but I'm ready to go back to being a fan. I'm pro Derek Carr now. I can't do it. It was a dark year last year. It was a weird year, but regardless, just these people that don't have anything to do latch on to, like, I don't know. I saw some wild shit today that I'm not going to like repeat, but it's just weird. People need to go get a fucking hobby. Go do something. I don't know. It's the opinions and everybody just with this fake outrage. That's all it is. So what would be the, well, that's what I said. What would be the conservative bat signal?
I don't know.
That's how I was, that was the first thing that popped in my head. Some like some, I feel like they all wear shitty gas station sunglasses.
Yeah.
It's gotta be something. What would it be?
Well, shit. I like, gas station sunglasses.
I mean, you're a man of God.
Might say a lot.
Of them, you know? I'm sure you were not too happy that they were not on the sideline for the national anthem.
This is the first I'm hearing about it.
I know, I'm kidding. Well, yeah, but you're also off social media. Another conservative
outlook.
Yeah.
Speaking of the game, though,
he doesn't want to be controlled by the media propaganda.
Yeah, fuck all that shit.
What about the game?
I thought LSU played good. I mean, dude, she hit 9 threes.
I think Haley Van Lith is getting a real bad rap.
What's so great about it? Like, I never watched her at Louisville.
Van Lith?
Yeah.
Oh, she was really good at Louisville.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't see
No, it's not a good fit for her. The style of the team is to feed through Angel Reese. And so she's a really good basketball player. And she talked about how, like, she's not really asked to score like she was at Louisville. It's more about making game-winning plays and things like that. So she kind of just shoots a three when it's open. But she's not able to, like Caitlin Clark's incredible. Don't get me wrong, but she's very much a volume shooter. Yeah. She shoots a lot.
Yes, she does.
And she misses a lot. So that's what comes with shooting a lot. So you can't really get in a rhythm if you're shooting five shots a game. And it's just whenever Angel Reese decides to kick it out to you and all of that. But no, she is good. She's getting a really bad rap, though, for her defensive performance on Caitlin Clark, because a lot of those were well contested. Even Angel Reese threw her hand. They both did. They threw their hands up like, what am I supposed to do? And that's what it is. There's nothing you can do.
Well, that's kind of what I meant by, like, I thought they actually played pretty good. I mean, there's nothing you can do about
They just weren't
stepping out 40 feet and hitting a fadeaway three.
My biggest problem was they kept taking mid-range pull-ups.
Yeah.
And it's like, let's be honest, ladies.
Yeah, they weren't even close to going. Yeah, like, I was like, all right, that's
like when you see when you see one of the fellas pull up for a mid-range jumper, like if you see what's his name from Villanova, Justin, whatever the hell, he pulls up for mid-range jumper, it's going in more times than it's not.
Yeah,
women pull up from mid-range, you're fucking, it might as well be from half court.
It doesn't hit the square part of the back of the rim every time.
Like, yeah, it's not like, ah, shit, I just missed it. It's like, ah, you hit the net. Yeah, I don't know. It was and Jeff Landry's a clown. Who the fuck even is Jeff Landry? Has anybody ever seen Jeff Landry in person?
I don't know who Jeff Landry
is. He's a governor of Louisiana, which it's like, yeah, I could go be an assistant manager of a Wendy's, and we're on the same level. So it's like, Jeff, why don't you pipe the fuck down before we start searching your freezer, all right? We got a bad track record of our politicians and stealing money, so not saying he is. But it's not a definite that he's not.
He's trying to clean this state up.
No, somebody texted him like, hey, Jeff, wake up. Yeah. They said, Jeff, wake up from your nap. This is a good opportunity to gain a couple points with the conservatives. So he said, oh, yeah, they should pull their scholarships for not being out there. Shut the fuck up. Shut up. Fucking clowns, dude. He doesn't care. He doesn't watch. Somebody told him, hey, Mr. Landry, this is a good this is a good PR opportunity. But it's like, in reality, now we're all looking at you like a fucking dipshit. So you just solidified that you don't watch the games. Speaking of not watching the games, Pat McAfee tweeted out. He goes, hand up. I had no idea Dalton Connect was good. It's like, that's why I was like, yeah, hand up. You never watched a fucking game this year. Like, what are you talking about, dude? There's so many people in sports media that get paid to do what they're doing that don't know what's going on. They don't watch. Bayless, Stephen A. Smith, all of them. Any of the main people, they're making too much money. They don't care. They don't need to watch. How do you not know who Dalton Connect is? He's the best player in the fucking country. He's the best scorer. He's going to be probably the first American draft pick. It's just crazy. Too many people are getting way too much recognition when they're not good at their job. Another thing, baseball's back. And I'm going to bet it again. So, And I'm kind of excited. I am. Every year I do this exact same thing. I had that one year. I had one Slumdog Millionaire year. I don't know if you remember, but Bam text. I was talking with Bam, and he brought it up the other day, where I won like 30 bets in a row. I think it was before we were doing the podcast. It might have been that summer before.
Yeah.
I think it was. And just got like insanely hot. And then, I mean, it was a flash in the pan. It was literally just guessing and getting lucky. So when you see me put out baseball plays, I'm just guessing. So don't take them until I start winning. And then when I do start winning and you take them, that's when I'll start losing. So don't bet them. Just let me. This is a personal journey I got to go on, and I will. So what else? Is anything else going on?
Got anything for a future? Or not yet? Too early? We'll save that for another day.
No, I mean, they're just guesses. But
yeah.
If I had to take one, I would take two. I would take...
Okay. Oh, don't... No. Don't
what
do you, it, man.
Oh, what?
Don't do it.
What?
My team?
What, do you think it's going to jinx you? I'm good at fucking... That's the one thing I can do in this life.
Did, well, you had Phillies.
Yeah, and I should have hedged. But nobody had them getting there.
Yeah.
I had the Phillies way back. Yeah, this, way the fuck back.
The first of the past 2 years that they knocked the Braves out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was all over it. No, I would think Braves and then maybe the Orioles.
Yeah, the Orioles are legit.
Like value-wise, I think they were like 13-1.
They're good. They're really good.
Braves are the second favorite, but they're like, I think it was like 5-1.
They're going
to
be that like every year.
With yeah.
The lineup they have right now.
Yeah.
How's the Cardinals looking?
Not horrible.
No, not to start the season. They look pretty decent.
You know? No, but like their outlook, though. I was reading about them. Mm-hmm. I mean... We need to ask Bam, and if he goes, it's not looking good, that's when we bet him. Because he goes, oh, yeah, they got a really good chance. They fucking were the worst team in the league. Yeah, fucking finessed us. All right, so we are on to the final four. Should we just all bet the Braves?
Hell yeah.
What's the odds?
Only like 5-1.
It's very short.
Maybe we all bet the Orioles.
How's the Yankees? They're good?
Yeah, but they don't have depth. Gerrit Cole's battling injuries already. They're saying he doesn't need any surgery, but I don't buy it. I've fallen into that trap year after year after year.
They got Soto now.
They did get Juan Soto. They still got Judge. They got they got LeMahieu. They got Rizzo. They got guys. They got guys. They've got good pitching.
Have y'all been keeping up with college baseball, LSU?
Fuck no. No.
Everybody's off on LSU. All the fans are giving up already.
They did the same shit last year.
They do it every year.
Yeah, no.
Every year. Arkansas is so good.
Yeah.
The SEC and just as a whole is incredible.
Yeah, they do this every year.
Yeah.
And then what? It doesn't matter. Just get to the postseason and then anything can happen. Exactly. Yeah. So, all right, the Final Four is set. As it stands, we have UConn taking on Alabama and Purdue taking on NC State. Is DJ Burns the face of the tournament? Gotta be, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player.
No, yeah, it's more than just... This is funny because I don't remember when I said it, but it might have been for the March Madness breakdown. It was for one of them where I was like, every year America finds a fat guy with good footwork and they fall in love with him because it's like, oh, he's moving like he's not fat, but he is. DJ Burns is that guy. He is very good. It is not like... He's not just good for a fat guy. He's good, good. But NC State is on arguably like the best run we've ever seen.
Yeah.
So I wrote it down. It's, in my opinion, got to be one of the greatest runs we've ever seen. Kevin Keats was going to be fired. Not maybe. He was going to be fired when they lost, inevitably lost in the ACC tournament. They were tied with 8-24 Louisville with 4 minutes to go in the game. Tied up. They lose that game, he's fired, he's done. This was the first round of the ACC tournament. Then they go on, they beat Duke. Then Virginia, it takes an an 87% free throw shooter misses to make it a 4-point game. Then they hit that improbable buzzer beater that rolled around and off the backboard and went in. That was just a force overtime. Then they beat North Carolina in the ACC championship. Now they've won 4 straight games in the tournament, 9 games in a row. They were an underdog in 7 of the 9. Kevin Keats has since had his contract extended. They're in the Final Four. This is a perfect example of why March Madness is the best. Kevin Keats, who has been at NC State for a little while, about to lose his job. like, lives are about to change. They might have to move. They're going to inevitably have to move. Now, all of a sudden, you just get hot at the right time. Your team's going crazy. DR is not eating because it's fucking Ramadan. It's like just an improbable run to beat Duke twice. They beat North Carolina. I mean, they had to win the ACC championship. They were one of the worst teams in the ACC. Then they go on a run, win the championship, and now they're in the Final Four, taking
Texas
on Purdue.
Tech, Oakland.
Yeah, the only game that was even really close too was Oakland. Yeah.
Oakland played them well.
Yeah, yeah. Oakland had that.
They kind of slipped out the grasp at the end, though. Yeah, they had a hold of it.
It went to overtime.
Yeah.
Yep.
But outside of that, they had to beat Marquette. They had to beat
Texas Tech.
Yeah, Texas Tech, Oakland, then what, Marquette, then they beat Duke again. They played Duke like three times in the last month. They beat them twice.
So if that shot doesn't go in, they're not here.
Against Virginia?
Yeah.
No, it's over. Yeah, if that doesn't go in, yeah, it's over. It's one of the more improbable runs we've ever seen. So, but one thing in the Elite Eight that was super unfortunate, Jamal Shedd with his ankle injury. Absolutely killed Houston's chances. As soon as that happened, it was a wrap. So, and they still, That's interesting. Why did that happen?
It's coming back.
Okay.
That's what we're on right now.
We're having technical difficulties on the audio side of things. Slide over.
Yeah.
And then, so for those listening on our video, I edited out audio. Okay. It appears to be recording still, correct?
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Let me see. Hold on. All right. We should be good now. Sorry about that. Where was I?
Jamal Shedd.
Yeah. Right. Houston. Yes. It's always something with Houston. And I don't know if Kelvin Sampson's got a curse around him or what. But it's always something with the Houston Cougars. Sasser hurts his shoulder going into the tournament last year. I don't know. It's really unfortunate. As soon as he got hurt, it was a done deal for Houston because of what he does for the team, offensively and defensively. It was still a really good effort. It was a dogfight of a game. But I was on Houston. Were we all on Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, they came out exactly how I was hoping they would come out. 8-0 right off the bat. I don't know why, dude. I keep blanking on fucking Juwan whatever. Juwan Roberts. He came out, put a couple moves on Filipowski to start. It was like bully ball, exactly what I'm looking for. Duke's turning the ball over, throwing it out of bounds. And so Duke answered the bell. They got back into the game before Shedd got hurt. But it was kind of that, like, Houston went on a run. Duke kind of closed the gap, to be expected. And then Shedd got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So right when you're expecting Houston to kind of take control back and go on their run, Jamal Shedd gets hurt, and I mean, just...
Well, and they said it three times. Shedd looking like he might play a little bit here in the second half.
Yeah, no.
They said that, like, literally at halftime.
Yeah.
And then I saw him in street clothes, and I'm like, what are y'all talking about?
Yeah, they're dumb. They don't know. So, I mean, really unfortunate. You had a future on Houston?
Yeah, I had four futures going into the Sweet 16. They're all eliminated now.
Yeah, I had the one with Creighton, so that got killed. I don't know. I always say I want to just be alive going into the second weekend. I don't want to have my brackets busted or the bets or futures bets out on the first weekend, and then it kind of kills the momentum going in. So we made it to the second weekend, and then it just got ugly quick. I don't know. So on a side note, what's unbelievably frustrating is if the odds are correct and UConn plays Purdue in the national championship and UConn wins, I'm going to come in second place again in the bracket challenge for the second year in a row, our 100-plus person bracket challenge. I'm going to come in second place by 1 point. Mm. And I took those stupid fucking dipshits over at St. Mary's to the Final Four, and immediately... That's where, dude, you got to pick the upset. Obviously, it was NC State. It just so happened that it was chaotic in the top right, and nobody had that, so nobody really got burned there. But you got to take a shot on a team. I took a shot on a bunch of fucking idiots, and it's going to cost me a lot of money. Second year in a row. I think the pot's like $2,700 this year. So, and then you go back and you look, and you're like, God damn. Oh, I lost every 8-9 matchup. Every one. Every guess game. I couldn't get fucking one. If I got one, I would have tied. The guy's total score was like 118. It's going over that. Mine was 150. I'd have won. Second year in a row. It's a killer. But I have proven I'm going to be in the mix. I'm going to be in the mix in this bracket challenge every year. So we won in 21, second place last year, probably second place this year. And now everything's dead. Creighton's gone. Got nothing to look forward to except the games. Nobody else. You had Tennessee. Tennessee was your...
Yeah, this was my first time even really being in it. This is my third year, I think.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm always on Kentucky, and they always let me down.
Yep.
But I had a pretty decent Tennessee bracket. I know I had, I think there was four of us, I believe, and I had the best one, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my Tennessee bracket was my third bracket. My third bracket, I always switch it up and take chances. Like, I had Auburn in the national championship. I had Baylor in the Final Four. It was a horrible bracket.
Yeah.
Horrible bracket. But I always say you're only as good as your first bracket. And my first bracket's about to be probably second place. So out of 100-some people. So good bracket, bad first round. That's really what it was. I did not do well. I did not do well in the first round. And this, well, we sat here and talked about that those games fucking matter.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that to get no 8-9. And so that's another thing, too, with record-wise. I think I'm like 14-9, something like that, in the tournament. Dude, we had a lot of close ones. We had Drake. We had Drake -1.5. They blew a 7-point lead with like minutes to go. What else was it? San Diego State -6.5 in the first round against UAB. Justin was on the right side of that. It took him going 1-for-12 and missing a shitload of shots down the stretch. And then, yeah, dude, the fact that all the 8-9 matchups went the way they did was just a brutal.
Yeah, I got all those right.
I know.
But not in the mix. Not in the mix.
I know. Fuck.
Dan McNeese fucking drank the Kool-Aid on me.
I tried to tell you. You fell in love with Will Wade. Rumor is Will Wade bouncing from McNeese. He might go to Louisville.
Unreal.
What do you mean? You want them to stay there? You saw that team. They can't compete. They can't compete with anybody. They can beat the Mississippi School of the Blind by 100 and then get to the tournament.
I want LSU to be good again.
Yeah, it would be so fun. It really would. It would be so fun.
Let them make the tournament.
We'll never be good again.
I'll have that LSU bracket.
We'll never be good again. All right, so we'll look at the games Saturday. Both games, first one at 5:09 tip. NC State taking on Purdue. The total, you can find anywhere from 8.5 to 9.5. You can find anywhere from 145.5 to 146.5. Does anybody feel good about it? I kind of do. But I'm on both. I'm going to have three plays.
Okay.
I'll go first because this is the one I wrote the most down for. So, obviously, we talked about NC State's run. They've looked dominant in every game except Oakland. They play through DJ Burns. They never seem to get ahead of themselves. They rank 12th in the nation in turnovers per game. They've got 36 turnovers in the NCAA tournament, which is 9 per game, which is right at their average. So, they're right on track there. Purdue ranks 338th in forced turnovers per game. So don't expect many extra possessions for the Boilermakers. Neither team plays fast. NC State plays a little faster than Purdue, but neither team plays fast. The biggest question is, how is NC State going to stop Zach Edey? So I went back and looked at the times DJ Burns has played bigger than him. Bigs. Filipowski, Baycott, you got a big sample size, obviously. Filipowski's a 7-footer for Duke. Burns had 29 points. He held him to 11 points on 3-of-12 shooting, and he fouled him out in the last game. Before that, Filipowski did go off 28 points, but he fouled out in that game as well. The first meeting of the three, Filipowski was in foul trouble, only had 9 points, but Duke did win that game. They lost the previous two. Against North Carolina, Burns got the better of Baycott. DJ Burns had 20 points on 9 of 12 shooting, and he put 4 fouls on Baycott. Against Marquette, Iguodoro was held to 2 of 6 shooting from the floor, which that was a funky game because they got in a panic mode, and Marquette just started launching threes and couldn't hit. So it's really interesting. What do you do with Zach Edey? Because he's much bigger. He's bigger than Filipowski, bigger than Baycott. He's 7'4". So I'm leaning more towards you are almost going to have to let Edey get his. And then you can't allow Purdue to hit the outside threes playing off of the outside shots playing off of Edey. So when you look at what NC State has done in terms of perimeter defense, coming into the tournament, their perimeter defense was nothing to write home about. In the tournament, which it's a little funky because when you go back and look, there was a lot of open shots for Marquette and they just weren't making them. There's a lot of open shots for a lot of teams that weren't making them. But at what point is it like, okay, there's something to be said for that, I guess. In the tournament, NC State has held opponents to 28 of 117 three-point attempts. They're holding opponents to 24% shooting from the outside. Over the course of their 9-game win streak, so including the ACC tournament, they're holding opponents to 66 of 232, 28% from the three-point line. If they sustain that, which easier said than done, and they didn't, but if they sustain that over the course of the full season, they would have had the number one perimeter defense in the country. So from what we've seen in tournament play, when they've clearly turned it on, they have the best perimeter defense in the country. If you want to attribute that to just teams just missing shots, but that goes into it. You're going to get some open looks. You got to make them. I think I'm going to take NC State plus 9.5, and I think I'm going to take the under 146.5. But I do see – I feel like it's hard to feel good about these games, no matter how you slice it. Like, these are not locks. These are not, like, oh, surefire things. I can see Purdue coming in, and I can see Zach Edey just being far too much for Burns.
Mm-hmm.
And a big key here is Middlebrooks. Danny Cannell's nephew coming in with size, good enough footwork, and he'll take the fouls.
Energy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that especially. But that's a guy, he's more expendable than DJ Burns. And if he picks up 2 fouls in the first half, it's okay. If DJ Burns picks up 2 fouls in the first half, he's sitting until halftime.
But you're making like life difficult on Edey.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, that's the point. So he's the guy who you can send in there to play tough defense and try to bother Edey and not have to worry about, like, okay, is he going to pick up the fouls? So I'm going to take the points with NC State.
So, yeah, I'm taking NC State.
It's America's team.
I think, like, it's kind of hard to see how they're going to win, but it's just a lot of points. And then you kind of look back at the last game against Tennessee. That was like a friendly officiating for Edey.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing.
So it's like, is it?
How are they going to call this game?
Yeah. Right. I don't know if we see it as friendly this time. You know what I mean?
I would hope not, because it's the Final Four and you got them. So it's like if it's the conspiracy and we're in it for ratings, he's here now. You're in the Final Four. This is where I do love the Final Four on another side note, how they raise the court and shit, how it's like benches are below the court. Mm-hmm. It always makes it look like the stage. The officiating for Edey has been fucking horrific, meaning he's too big to call ticky-tack fouls. They called Tennessee for pushing him in the back. What do you want them to do?
Right.
What do you want them to do? And then they'll wrap their arm around him and they don't call it. So which one is it? So when they played Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship, or it might have been, no, I'm sorry, in the semifinals, Wisconsin was able to overcome the poor officiating. We were on the right side of that, but it was so bad. It is so, so, so bad. He'll elbow somebody in the head and they call a foul on the guy who got elbowed. I don't understand why they officiate him with kid gloves when he's the biggest, most dominant player on the court. What do you want him to do? So that's going to be a big question mark is, and that was another thing too, dude. He fouled so many times and they didn't call it. You have to call it you have to call it fair, or else part of me that worries me to an extent. It's almost like, do we just bet Purdue? Because if they're gonna officiate it like they did against Tennessee in the previous games before that, then I would bet Purdue. But I'm hoping that they call it fair and square, dude. And I am worried about the size discrepancy, though. I mean, DJ Burns is going to be massively undersized. But he's got very good footwork, and he can move very well and finish around the rim. So is Edie going to come out with him? Because we saw with Gonzaga, with EK, he hit a couple outside shots, and when he was able to face up, he was having success, but then they just couldn't hit enough shots down the stretch, and Purdue pulled away. But I think this is going to be played at a slower pace, too, because in the Tennessee game, Rick Barnes did a mid-game interview, and he was like, we thought we were going to be running. They don't want to run, so we're going to play slower. Like, we're going to focus more on the half court. So, and that's typically what we see when we get to the tournament and postseason play and all of that. It does slow down, and every possession is more critical now. So especially with Purdue, they don't want to get into a track meet where Edie's tired and he's lagging behind on defense and things like that. So I would expect this to be played at a slower pace. That's why I'm going to take the under 146.5 as well. And I took the two unders on Saturday. They should have both hit. The fact that Alabama's didn't piss me the fuck off. But yeah, I'm going NC State and I'm going under 146.5. Are you? You're just on NC State?
Yeah.
What are you on, Joseph? Same. Okay. Do you have anything else to it, or basically?
No, that was basically it. It was just like, basically what you mentioned, NC State being able to protect the basketball, and they also do a decent job defending, especially in the tournament and in the ACC tournament. But yeah, I mean, the size discrepancy worries me, and then the three-point shooting for Purdue at just 9.5 points, I think it's too much.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at NC State's games since the tournament, they've held Texas Tech to 67, Oakland to 73 in overtime, so 5 extra minutes, Marquette to 58, and Duke to 64. So you'd have every team, with the exception of going overtime with Oakland, you have every game that would have been in the 60s or less.
Mm-hmm.
So they're playing great defense. They really are. And they have guys that can score the ball. DJ Horn's really good. Diarra is going to go get you a shitload of rebounds, and it's going to be all effort. If O'Connell can give you shots from the outside, Middlebrooks, we need key minutes. This team's good. They really are. It's not a – you don't get this far off of luck or just like a Cinderella story. It is a Cinderella story, but, I mean, when you look at the teams that they've been beating over the course of this, the ACC showed up really well in the tournament. They ran through the ACC. So, I don't know. So we're all in agreement that we're all taking the Wolfpack. And then it's just also – I just don't want to also be on Purdue when NC State does cover and it's fun and DJ Burns is fucking dancing. I'll be willing to I'll take the shot. I'll take the chance there. The second and final game of the Final Four, Alabama taking on UConn. I see 11.5. I see 12. Totals around 160, 160.5. Nobody was lower on Alabama than me. I had St. Mary's winning. I had Charleston winning round one against them. I'll go first, I guess. UConn is without a doubt one of the most dominant runs we've seen. They've led by at least 30 points in every game of the tournament. They went on a 30-0 run against Illinois. I think Illinois was up one at halftime. They were either up one or down one. It was a one-point game at half. They came out. I've never seen anything like it. It was crazy. To go on a 30-0 run, they won that game in like a five-minute stretch. They just demoralized Illinois. It's what we've seen pretty much all year. They kind of sleepwalk. They, like, test the waters to see if the other team even thinks they have a chance. And if they have a little bit of hope, then they come out and just stomp on their fucking neck in the second half and turn it on. They can score in so many different ways. They can beat you in so many different ways. I think Klingon's the best big. I think he's better than Edie from what he's able to do on both sides of the ball, offensive and defensively. They've got so many different options to score. It's one of the all-time runs. So if they go and they win the championship, would they be considered a dynasty?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Back to back?
Yeah.
Last team was what? Florida with Joakim Noah?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it doesn't have. You don't see teams go back to back in college basketball, really, or really any college sports, typically. But I'm going to take Alabama, I think. I think I'm going to take Alabama plus 12. Because all of a sudden, they came into postseason play, SEC tournament and the March Madness tournament, shooting the ball like shit, playing the worst defense you'll ever fucking see. And while the teams they played have put up points, that Charleston game's a little screwy. Charleston scored 96, but Alabama was up like 30 and completely put in the backups, took their foot off the gas. Grand Canyon, in one of the most dysfunctional games you'll ever see, only scored 61. They've given up points, but they're playing better defense. I've watched every single game. They are playing better defense. Sears is playing great. All of a sudden, the people that couldn't shoot are shooting the ball well. It just feels like too many points. 12 points feels like too many. UConn could come out and win by 30. They could. What they did to Illinois was probably the most impressive thing I've seen. A 30-0 run, I've never seen it before. As I'm watching, I was like, this is incredible. It's like, it's over. The UConn went into half. I mean, Illinois went into halftime. Like, we can win this. Yeah. 5 minutes in the second half, they're like, oh, my God, what the fuck just happened? They're like, I think Terrence Shannon did rape that girl. Get him out of here. They turned on him. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to take Alabama plus 12. But like I said, it's hard to feel good. It's hard to feel good about these games. I don't feel like, oh, there's Alabama's a lot. Yeah. Not a shot. Not a shot. And I've been betting against UConn. More than I should.
Yeah. It's tough to bet against them.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've covered every game this tournament and last tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. That is so fucking crazy. It is like a bet it and forget it.
Yeah.
But I find myself going like, nah, not this time. Like, yeah. Like I'm going to find.
I will be on the right side yeah. when they lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, Alabama, they're going to have to continue to shoot it well if they want a chance.
And they have
close.
They have shot it.
Yeah, with the exception of the Grand Canyon game, they've shot it lights out.
Yeah, and that was such a funky fucking game. That was a dysfunctional game. Yeah, they shot 16 of 36 against Clemson from the 3-point line. Out rebounded them on both sides. I don't know.
12 points is a freaking lot of points.
It is a lot, but
they just went on a 30 to nothing run.
Yeah, but that, I don't know. That, they do, if Stevenson's going to hit threes like he was hitting, they shoot so many, and there's so many different guys that can shoot them. Like, they're a much different team than Illinois. Illinois was definitely top-heavy with Terrence Shannon hunting free throws, and I don't know. I feel less good about this one, but just because it's UConn, and they've, like you said, they've covered every game of the last two tournaments. But we're going to try it. Are you taking UConn, Joseph?
I'm going to take Alabama.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's a high total. So they're not expecting a...
They're not a bad rebounding team.
They get good shots.
They used to be a great rebounding team. And then there was just less emphasis on it this year. Or maybe not less emphasis, but... They don't have as many guys that, like, that's what they're there for. They're there to go get boards and kick it out to the shooters.
Sears gets to the goal well.
Oh, yeah, he's very good. It's like just
they're a good drive and kick team.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's like their entire offense is predicated on either getting to the rim or finding the outside shot. But UConn's perimeter defense is really fucking good. I'm worried that we're going to be looking at like a 15-4 start. And then it's like, fuck. Then it's like, fuck. We're right on it, like 5 minutes in. And then they got to fight. We got to fight for our lives. But I've faded Alabama like every fucking game of this tournament. They cost me single-handedly. They cost me $2,700. I'm going to lose the bracket challenge because I faded Alabama. So... If they're going to upset UConn and they're going to go to the national championship, I'm going to be. What do we live in a world where there's Alabama versus NC State for the national championship?
No way, Jose. It's 100% going to be Purdue-UConn, huh?
Dude, what if, though? What if? That would be the craziest shit to probably ever happen. Definitely in college basketball.
Yeah. And that would just be disgusting.
We'd have to bet the farm on NC State. It would just be meant to be.
Oh, I would, yeah.
It would be meant to be.
NC State.
It would be meant to be at that point. All right, so it sounds like we're all in agreement.
On all the dogs.
Yeah. So we're both on NC State. What do we get, 9.5?
Yeah.
Or all three on NC State plus 9.5. I'm on the under 146.5. And then we're all three on Alabama plus 12 is the best number I see. And we're going to find out who goes to the national championship. And then we are going to be back in here Saturday night, perhaps Sunday during the day, perhaps. We'll figure it out. But we will be back in to give you our best bets for the national championship. It's been a fun run. I love the first weekend more than anything. Yeah. I really do.
So many possibilities.
Yes. And that's the thing. There's nothing like a clean slate. There's nothing like a fresh bracket. There's nothing like a 0-0 baseball record. And that's why we're going to – dude, it doesn't matter what sport it is. When you haven't lost a bet and you're eyeing down the possibility of winning 40 in a row, it's the best. It's the best. Last year broke me. Jose Leclerc coming in to save a 6-run lead, and he fucking walks 5 in a row, and then there's a grand slam, and it broke me. I'll have to go back and look because I know I was tweeting about it. Like, this is fucking crazy. And everybody's like, yeah, okay. Dude, I lose bets in the fucking sickest way possible. The sickest way. It was past balls. It was like, it was walk off past balls. Like, the catcher just misses it, and they win. I'm not, dude, nobody understands. That's why I tell Lindsay all the time. Like, I go in and start telling her, and I'll be mid-sentence. I'll be like, you don't fucking get it. I was like, I'm not even wasting my breath. And then she's probably like, thank God. So, yeah, there you go. That is our best bets for the Final Four. We are going to try to continue to make money. It's been a profitable tournament. The futures bets didn't work out, but, I mean, we got good value, which means nothing. But we can hold our head high knowing that I wiped it out of my brain. What did I have? 45-1 on Creighton. It dropped to like 20-1 at one point. And then it could have been 100,000-1. We made the same amount of money no matter what. We lost it. It's over. Anything else before we go?
Just good luck.
Good luck.
All right, episode 186 is in the books. We might be able to work this out to where start of next football season. We're episode 200. So yeah, be on the lookout for baseball picks. Who knows? Maybe I give one out for tomorrow. But again, they're all guesses. I have no idea. I know enough about like the players and who's good and who's okay. But they are all guesses. And anybody who tells you their handicap in baseball and betting spreads and sides and all of that, anybody who tells you they're a sharp and they feel good about it, they're fucking lying. We're all guessing. That's why we don't bet baseball. We only do it when nothing else is left. And it's the only thing we got. So we got to bet on something. Typically, I last about a month, and then I call it a wrap. But you can follow along with me if you want, and we'll see how it goes. Episode 186 is in the books. We'll see how Final Four goes, and we'll see y'all back in a couple days. Y'all have a good one.
The house always wins. Play long enough, you never change the stakes. The house takes you. Unless, when that perfect hand comes along, you bet big, and then you take the house. Practicing this a little bit. Did I rush it? Felt like I rushed.
It was good. I liked it.